I'm here to see if the stream is working. The stream is working. Thank you. So I don't know if you saw, I did the debate last week. I did a debate last week and it's, oh no. Oh, I spoke too soon, did I? Are you back? Can you hear me?
No. Yeah, you cut out for a second, but you're back.
Okay. So I did a debate last week and it stopped working. StreamYard, like the platform, stopped working. I was like, oh, we're having trouble connecting to YouTube. I was like, cool.
And then pre-recorded it. Anyway, left pre-record. And the pre-record just disappeared. It was just gone. StreamYard. Like,
your audio just went crap. You sound like you're in a tunnel.
It's my Wi-Fi. Oh, you're man, back. This is going to be stressful. Right. I can feel it already.
Okay.
So, Corey, maybe it's just not working. I have that little Wi-Fi symbol in the top of my screen saying, like, your Wi-Fi is shit. So I'm on hotspot on my phone. Can't really show you because it's plugged in. I'm on hotspot on my phone.
Nice. Because you get some housework done or something?
Yeah, I got some. We're getting a shed, like a garage built out the back. And the guy was driving through with, like, you know, those little dumper trucks. That's like the width of the alleyway. Yeah. And then I have a Ring doorbell. So, you know, if someone knocks on the door, it shows up. It's like there's someone at your door. And I was upstairs painting a room upstairs. And I thought I heard a knock on the door. And I went to check my Ring doorbell app and nothing showed up. And I was like, something's wrong with the Wi-Fi. That's weird. And then I ignored it and I went back to painting. And then I definitely heard a knock. So I went downstairs and the guy was like, hey, I think I hit your broadband cable. Is your Wi-Fi working? And I said, no. I was like, what do you mean you think you hit it? And then I went around the corner and it was in like two completely separate, like, you know, splayed out one end, splayed out the other end. And I was like, right. So when you say you think you hit it, you mean you absolutely, certainly, definitely hit it and broke it. And now I've
moved on. When you checked the door, the Ring camera, was it showing the normal picture? It just got frozen. So you thought no one was there? Or did it cut out completely?
No, it's gone. I just looked at my phone. I was like, oh, it's not working. Okay. Must have imagined it.
You remember that movie Speed where they like purposely stopped the camera?
No.
I was telling Jake for that live stream, we should have just recorded him doing burpees and then somehow like sent that in. And like, he's not stopping.
Yeah, you could have done green screen and have the crowd recorded like 3 minutes of crowd in the background, but only had him do three burpees and then just perfect. Like, yeah,
I'm not that sophisticated.
Neither am I. I don't think Jake is that sneaky either. So I have no Wi-Fi. So I stole my Wi-Fi off my neighbor for a while, but I've realized that 8 p.m., which is when I have my show scheduled for, like now, just happens to be the time where he suddenly starts using the internet and like eats up all his doing? Yeah, so he's probably Googling child images or something. I don't know. Maybe that's probably a nicer thing to guess than what I guessed. So if I drop off, just be patient and wait for me to come back.
I'll just hold down the fort. I'll just interview myself.
Yeah. It'll be the CTP show. First question I have for you, maybe my timeline is off, up until July of last year, I had you pictured as the top of a head only and assumed that you were like horribly scarred from your nose down, like that's some really terrible disfiguration or something. I remember at the games, or maybe it's just before the games, me and some friends were like, apparently if you Google like such and such a thing, there's a picture of him on there. Like you can see what he looks like. If you Google.
What'd you type in?
I think it was something to do with Barbell Shrugged. I think, I'm not actually sure what it was. But there was something that if you Googled, I remember Will saying it. If you Google something that you can see what you look like, you can see what CTP looks like if you Google image. Like, I think that's him. And we were like trying to guess.
You can't do that. That's like when I grew up listening to like metal music, and I one time like looked up with the Slipknot guys. They all wear masks. I looked up what they looked like, and it ruined it. So
I probably should have stayed. Why have you like started to display the rest of yourself? What brought that on?
Let me get a hoodie real quick because it's super cold in my house. Hold on.
He's gonna hide his face.
Why did I start coming out from? Well, so the shot you're talking about is in our podcast.
Yeah,
and I was filming myself. I don't know what episodes would be, but there was a period where I was like actually putting the camera there and recording it. And I don't know that all of them were where I was hidden, but just some of them, just because I was being lazy and just throwing the camera up real quick because I didn't.
Well, look here, like Sarah Cooper, what made CTP show his face? And then someone else messaged me. I think it might have been this guy, but I'm not sure. Said, are you going to ask him why he suddenly decided to start showing his face? So I don't think it was just me. I think it was common conception that accurate.
It's been out there. I think it seems like I was hiding it because
I assumed it was like a running joke. No, that it was like, you know, the guy in Home Improvements, like talking.
Yeah, that's what everyone said. Wilson from Home Improvement.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your homie Sam is the proprietor of that, I think.
Yeah.
But what you called? No, I just got lazy and I got tired of we don't do the live show, so I'm not camera switching during our podcast. I'm editing it all together, and I just got sick of having to record a whole thing of me when I only say a few things here and there, and so I eventually just got lazy and used one. If you go look at that clip in the podcast, for the most part, before I. The TTD reacts is different, and I'll get to that in a sec if you care. But I just started using one clip, so it's the same clip every time.
Top of your head. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it's the
same thing. If you're angry, if you're laughing, if you're sad, it's just the same facial expression.
And at some point in the clip, I like move back, and that's usually where I cut it because then it becomes clear that I'm not talking. It's just being lazy. And then at some point, it was just. You know, people started saying something, so but there's been plenty of me out there if you know where to find it.
Yeah, the dark web. What's different about TTT Reacts? You felt the need to be physically like to host more so than to produce, is it?
Yeah, I thought I'd be talking more. And with the podcast, it's arguably still annoying. So usually what I'll do on the podcast is when I talk for the first time, I'll show that shot and then I'll get even lazier. Midway through the episode, I'll stop even cutting to the shot. But I know that if I'm going to talk a whole bunch like I do in TTT Reacts, then I'm like, I would find myself being more annoyed that someone who's talking a lot is not being shown. And it was just easy to throw up the phone on that based on where we're sitting. Part of the other thing is the way the podcast set up, I'm off in that corner and I feel like it throws off the flow. But when we move to a new building, eventually we'll probably get a different setup.
Last week on when Jake was on Reacts, like, was that stage the camera underneath the computer, like on the corner?
No. So that's the office security camera because we're on a street where, you know, it's fine, but there could be some shady stuff from time to time. So we just have cameras in our building, and there's I don't want to say how much dollar value stuff is in those rooms, but
One of the security cameras is under a computer that's looking at a wall.
It just goes through the whole room. You can see the whole room from under the.
Oh, but you like cropped it down to be just those.
Yeah. You can see the whole room and it's just there because that's where the plug is. It's the easiest place to put it. But it just so happened. I messaged John, one of the guys at the gym. I was like, dude, I shit the bed and didn't press record. Do you have that footage? Can you get it to me? And he did. So
it was cool. I actually liked it.
Was the hidden guy because his face wasn't seen until halfway through the episode.
Yeah, but that's just to make everybody else who has any kind of self-conscious feelings about their looks feel a bit better for 5 minutes to be like, at least I don't have to look at Jake being more handsome than me effortlessly. You know,
that's right there.
Nice. For anybody that can see consistent flashing on my end, it's my fucking light. And I have no idea why it's flashing. I've tried plugging it out. I've tried changing the fuse. I think it might be a loose wire or a bulb is gone. I'm basically just giving you all my tech problems.
You're falling apart over there.
Yeah, it's things are rough. This helps though. Eating Beaver, $1.99. I'll get about 25 cents of that. Thank you very much. Yeah, who is that meant to be? It's AI, but of who? It kind of looks like the guy at Will and Grace. What was his name?
I
can't remember. He was in like a psychic, not a psychic. Oh, he was in another shit, like really shit crime show. No, that was good. But Tyler Watkins, I didn't know you were a fucking admin on this. Get to work, kick some people out.
What up, Ty Guy 85.
How did you wind up working at Think Tank? How did, like, do you live there? Are you local to there? How did that, like?
Yeah, I moved down here in the 2017 open and been here.
Why?
Ever since. So I had left Shrugged, which is what I was doing before. Yeah. And Mike McGoldrick, do you know who that is?
Yes.
He's one of our coaches.
I met him in Madrid, right?
Yeah. So he worked for Shrugged, and then he had came down here about 2 or 3 months before I ended up doing it. And then when he came down here to work, they were about to do an athlete camp, like a training weekend camp. And then I guess Max had said something to him about potentially doing some video. And he just said, why don't you get me to go do it? And then I came down just to do that camp, and I just never left.
Wow.
But I'd known Max before that too, so we had a relationship.
Ooh, okay. How did Barbell Shrug start? Like your involvement?
It started in, I guess it would have been 2011.
Please temper your enthusiasm.
I just hate talking about my story, to be honest.
Well, I'll tell you what, Chris, you're in the wrong fucking place if that's your attitude.
Yeah, I was afraid of that. You got like a more specific question?
Well, I'm just curious, like, did you do any kind of training beforehand? Did you do something in college? Did you do something? Were you just like kind of fucking around with video cameras and stuff like that and just kind of got to know some people and stuff started? Or were you
pretty much
training yourself for something like that?
No. So I grew up my whole life pretty much as a teenager playing guitar and stuff in bands. And so that was my life. My life basically went middle school. I had some backyard wrestling federations, you know what I mean, on the trampolines. And then me and some of those guys got into music. And then me and this one dude, he was the drummer in all my bands. We had lots of bands over the years. Sorry, cats are everywhere. And so a lot of my experience came from doing music. So I was in these bands, but also I was kind of like the dude who did everything else too. I'd make the flyers, I'd do all the media, I'd try to build the website, blah 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 blah. And so a lot of that kind of came just through doing that. And then at some point I got into fitness. I used to be a big chunky dude. Like, I didn't touch training until 2008-09. And then eventually when I was like all in on that, I sold a lot of my music gear. Ah, this is clunky. So I ended up doing an internship at the gym where the Barbell Shrug guys were. So this is 2009. I got into CrossFit, and the way that happened was I was chunky and I was starting to like try to get in shape. And mainly it was by trying to clean up my diet. And at best I would go on like a jog or something like that. But I'd never hit a gym. I'd never done any of that my whole life. And I pretty much ate like crap my whole life. And then my bassist at the time told me, he saw that I was trying to get in shape, and I started losing a little bit of weight by just eating right, chicken, broccoli, and all that. And so he was like, hey man, what you should do is this CrossFit thing. And he was at a Brazilian jiu-jitsu gym that doubled as a CrossFit gym back in the, you know, this is 09. Yeah. And I was like, okay, let me check that out. And then I do my little Googling, and I ended up finding some videos. And then I found the thing that hooked me was the CrossFit Games, 2009 CrossFit Games. And it was watching Miko Salo win that thing. I was just like, after that, I was like all in. Like, that was my dude. Like, and now I'm going to, like, I was drinking the Kool-Aid, as they say. And from that moment, I really was like, well, let me change my major, because I was kind of floating around in school, community college. I was like, didn't know what I want to do. I was like, I'm going to go all in on health and fitness. And I switched my major to sports and exercise science. And part of the last semester of that was that you had to do an internship. So in 2009, after he told me about that, see, this is why I don't like doing it. I know all the beats and it's not fun. I just feel like I'm just talking.
No, I'll tell you an anecdote after this. Go on, finish. I'll tell you a really embarrassing anecdote after this.
I mean, I can go on forever, though. This story never stops.
Well, just stop when you get to
now. What was the original question?
Keep going until you get to now. No, I think you've covered it there. I was actually on a podcast last week. I've recorded, I understand your pain or your angst. I've recorded like six, I think, podcasts with other people. Like, other people have asked me to go on their show. And I think four of them, I've just vanished. Like, they were never like released or whatever. And I remember getting off them thinking like, oh man, I think I talked too much there. And last week I did a show last week on someone else's channel on Glint and Things. And, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, and it was good. Like, I enjoyed it. And I had that same thought of, man, I think I talked too much there. And
do you like it? Because as I was saying, all
no,
that
I
stuff,
fucking hate it.
I know
no,
the I beats. I know the exact where it's going, same. And I'm bored out of my mind.
Yeah, I have the exact same feelings as you have. And I'll do better now in a minute. Don't worry. They ended the show. They, you know, like wrapped up the conversation or whatever. Oh, I'm gonna make them feel bad if I tell this. Oh fuck it, it's me that was embarrassed. No. They ended the show to be like, or you know, like thanks or whatever, and then you know, like removed me from the screen, from the stream. But I didn't X out. Like I was still there, right? Because I was kind of like, oh, they'll probably just wrap up the show and then maybe chat for a minute, and I don't want to be rude and just leave, so I'll just hang about for a second. So they wrapped up the show and obviously didn't know that I was like down in the bottom corner. And then I can't remember who said it, but the show was over and one of them goes, geez, man, Pedro can talk.
Oh, I thought it was going to be worse than that.
No, it could have been a lot worse. It could have been a lot worse.
Did you say anything after they said it? Like, hey guys, still here?
No, I was just like genuinely out loud said, well, I'm out. I just like left because I was like, I didn't want them to see that I was still there after they had said it. It'd be like, oh shit, now I need to pretend that he doesn't talk a lot, you know. But no, I understand your thing. Because I think as well, it's like it's hard when you're usually the other position. And then someone asks you a question and you want to deliver, like you want to give, you don't want to be awkward and you don't want to slow it down. And you want to like, you don't want them to have to keep pulling teeth or whatever. You want to give them the story. But then, like you say, you know the story and you're like, this isn't really that interesting.
I think I've just told the story so much that I know almost like a, and I'm not saying my life is like a good, anyway, I was going to compare it to a comedy bit. You know, comedians go out and they refine their bits so that they slap, you know, it's like, I know where to go and how to, I wasn't doing a good job just then, but I know where it goes. And so because of that, I'm just kind of like bored out of my mind. And I don't really like talking about myself, but we'll power through. I think maybe more specific questions will help.
Did you deliver pizzas?
Yes, I did for 5 years. Pizza Man of the Year, baby. 2000.
Who was that for? Was that like a local Pop thing or like a chain? Oh, we have that here.
Oh, you do?
Does a guy, have you seen the guy on TikTok that does his... Oh, there's a guy on TikTok that works for Papa John's, and he's always answering like people comment him saying like, fucking get a job, you know get a career, you know, like this kind of shit. And he's like making pizzas, like spinning dough, and as he's doing it, I'm like, there's no fucking way you're supposed to do that in Papa John's. I feel like it's all pre-made, but he's like spinning his dough.
No, and
like,
Papa John's, that's the one job that I never, they wanted me to do it, but I just stayed busy enough where I was just like, nah, I ain't messing with that. But yeah, they spin it.
Why did you say no to doing that? Would you not have? Is that not the kind of thing
I like my hands to be clean. I don't know, man. Something about that, because you got to put this powder down, and once you're over there, man, they'll leave you to it. Once one guy gets there, everyone's like, "All right, he's got it." And then you're no. I'll try to take these pizzas out and get my $5 tip or whatever.
What do they put on? It's not like flour. What is it, like piment? No. What is it? What goes down? What's that name?
You're polenta.
Is
that it? I don't
know. You fucking worked there.
I don't know. Dude, I told you I didn't do that.
Okay. You would not get curious.
I can call a buddy if you want.
Yeah, put on one loudspeaker. Yeah, this is the guy from Training Think Top. One of the abominations.
So our group chat is now Corpus Anus on Instagram. We just renamed the group. That's us now.
That's one of the biggest changes I think that's happened in the last like 12 to 18 months, is that the CrossFit seems to be becoming more what the fuck is the word I'm looking for? Like symbiotic nearly, where like Colton did that for two reasons. He did it to help me because he knew it was good content, and he did it to help himself because he knew it was good content, and he knew that I wouldn't waste it.
The winner of it is Spade.
Yeah. Well, the more people for finding out about Spade and getting to drink it, they're the real winners. You know, it's a cheap, healthy soda.
No, the whole thing was fun, dude. We had fun with it. And I'm glad he did it. I think some people, like, I remember I was like, when it happened, I text Mac. I was like, you know, those dudes just fucking around, right? And we all had fun with it. It was good. I'm glad it happened. It was fun.
Yeah. Max, I don't know, was it you or was it Max afterwards, was like, that was just a bit, right? It's like, you know, it wasn't.
You know, those dudes are pretty good. Like, they don't keep up. I'm probably the one in the group that keeps up with the most, like, stuff. Yeah. And even I'm bad. I'll go through phases where I'll watch a lot of things, and then I'll be like, man, I've been on my phone too much. There's a lot going on. You know, like you said, symbiotic, but then there's a lot going on. It's like,
yeah,
it's hard.
But
to
I think
up.
it's changed recently. I think before everything was very like segmented, like everything was very separate from everything else. Whereas now I feel like, you know, you've been around a lot longer than me, so maybe you can speak to it, but would it be accurate to say that now someone can put something out in almost in the hope that other people will pick up on it and run with it and do something with it, and then they're doing that in the hope that that first person will come back and do something else, or that a third person will say like, oh shit, that's a good idea, I'm going to do something with that. Do you think that
it's been happening. Yeah. It's been happening more.
Yeah.
And have you ever
met... Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Have you ever met Mikko Salo?
No, I have not. But I've been in the same room with him a couple times, and so I don't have like famous people like nervousness, like,
yeah,
especially in the CrossFit space. It's just I've met most of the people and hung out with them and friends with lots. And it's just not a thing to me. But the first time I ever saw him in person was at Rogue, I guess 2 years ago. We were in a hotel lobby, yeah, and he just walked in and was just chilling. And that was my opportunity. And I just couldn't. I was like that dude is my guy. Like, I would not be here if it wasn't watching that 2009 games. And I just couldn't bring myself to say hi or nothing.
Is that because are you afraid of embarrassing yourself, or are you afraid of being let down when you meet him?
No, it's all of it. And there's another element, and it's not that anyone's ever let me down, but the older I've gotten, the more that I think there is something magical to letting your heroes just be your heroes. And maybe hero is a strong word for that, but I would say so, because my whole life trajectory changed. And it wouldn't have without it. So, but yeah, I think there's also an element of just like, I don't want to know how this dude's fart smells, you know, just let him be that guy who I just thought was the shit. And I'm sure if I met him, he'd be really nice and cool. And maybe one day I will. I'm not like saying I never will, but I don't have that urge to like get that on, you know, that box checked.
Did he, when he was moving around the hotel, did he just move in triangles everywhere he went?
he kind of did. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise
me. We just did that. We just tested it. I didn't know. So what's funny is so the other day I watched that video again, and I remembered that I had the old Sisu, or however you say that, shirt.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I wonder if Rogue still sells that. So I typed his name in Rogue, and then it said they had a $20 ebook for the triangle. And I was like, cool, and started doing it, and got some people. Me, Jake, and Brandon are doing it right now, and we're going to get a little group going. But I didn't know that was like a brand new thing that they're promoting. I thought I just stumbled upon it that way. I didn't know that right now they're like this is like Rogue's promotion for him. It's like a brand new thing going on. So yeah, I think the whole world's going to be triangling.
When you're, did you do equilateral or isosceles? When you're doing that, are you, do you pick your calories or do you, cause it's supposed to be 20, isn't it?
Yeah. It says the elite target is 20. Now, however, if you buy the ebook, and you should, it's $20, give the homie a, I'm sure he gets some cut. I hope he does. But if you buy the ebook, I think the old version used to either be on a salt bike and then maybe eventually it went to C2, but now it's on the Echo bike, which we all know that the Echo bike is a mother fricker, and it starts Echo bike, then goes to row, then goes to ski, and then you get a minute rest. And now I forgot your question.
How many rounds?
10, or it's 40 minutes total, so 10 rounds of those four stations.
And your
question was, you're supposed to pick a number that you hold for all three. The target is that if you're elite, you do 20. I know my boy Ant Haynes, who didn't stand up for us, has a video out there of him doing 22. So I think the elites nowadays, the proper elites, are doing 22 and maybe more. We'll see. But I held 15s across. And Brandon is Brandon from the show, right? He's a sneaky mother fricker. And this dude, he just had his phone set up watching the Masters as we're testing it, the Masters golf tournament this past weekend. And he's just watching that, and he just casually gets 19 across just while watching the Masters. No big deal.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's impressive. Yeah, I'm assuming the Echo bike is the sticking point. That's the one where you're like probably just finishing inside by the end.
Well, I'll speak on my 15s, but for me, it wasn't the Echo bike. It was the ski. The ski got to the point where by the last two rounds, I was like, I only had like 3-4 seconds left to get it done. But it might just be because I'm weaker on the ski, or my technique sucks, or your accumulated fatigue from the previous two.
Yeah. Maybe you just don't do it as much as the others. I've seen you running in Crocs. Why do you do that?
I actually think the Crocs feel good.
Is it not sore in your Achilles, like the when you turn on sports mode?
No. You mean like, is it rubbing up against my foot? Yeah, or do you mean like, am I getting sore from...
No, like just the abrasion or whatever.
No. I mean, I ran a 12-mile ruck run of 45 pounds on the hottest day of the year in Crocs, and it was fine.
Yeah,
I think if more people would put them on, you'd realize that it's not that crazy. But until that day, I'm going to still let people think, wow, he's so wild.
Yeah, I bought a pair. You influenced me to buy a pair. My sisters-in-law have them, and they're always talking about them. And I was like, no, like, absolutely not. It's ridiculous.
That's how I was.
Yeah, and then I saw you wearing them, and I was like, oh, maybe they are cool. So then I bought a pair. And
so I was that way. I went to a friend's house and I was wearing some icy white J's, and they were like, help me move this to over here through the yard. And it was muddy that day. And I was like, dude, I'll help you, but I ain't getting these icy whites muddy. And so they were like, here, throw these on. And I put them on. It was like, dude, the angels from heaven came down, and years of shitting on those things all just vanished. I was like, these are what's up. Now you got to find the proper ones. So Rogue, they made the custom Rogue ones.
Yeah.
At the last invitational. So Noah gave me his pair, and I appreciate it. They're awesome pair. Thanks, Noah. But for some reason, the custom ones, they do it on like a hard plastic. Now what you're looking for is the soft foam traditional. So don't get in those clunky plastic ones and come at me saying that they suck. Cause
the ones I have are good. They're white, like plain. And they were like, I don't know, $50 or something. But they the thing that I really like about them, and maybe there's something wrong with my feet, but you know, they have the kind of dimples on the sole of, like, where your foot goes, like on the sole of your foot, like there's little bits sticking up, kind of.
You mean where you put the gibbets?
No, like where your foot slides in, like under the sole of your foot.
Okay.
But like touching your foot, there's like, it's like braille. No, is it like that in yours?
Sorry, I've been wearing these ones that have a liner in them for a while that I've forgotten about those. But yeah.
You've already upgraded.
No, I didn't mean to upgrade. I bought a pair online that were white, and then they shipped them, and then they had this liner, and I was like, for fuck's sake, I don't want the liner, but now I've just been rocking them.
But we have a carpet like in our bedroom. I know we're fancy. But I always thought that the carpet in our bedroom was shit, like that it was kind of gone, you know, the way it goes flat after a while, we just kind of walking on it and stuff. And then I wore those Crocs with no socks on and then walked on my carpet. And I was like, oh my God, this carpet feels amazing. Like I could feel all the fibers of the carpet. And then I was like, shit, is there something wrong with my feet that have I damaged my feet that I need this stimulation underneath my soles, my feet to actually feel things? Has this carpet been this nice all the time? And I've just been unaware of it because I haven't been wearing like nail beds.
Do you wear them a lot?
No, not a lot. I don't wear them to work because standards to maintain, like teaching kids. But no, I don't wear them to work. I kind of wear them as like slippers.
Could you wear them to work?
I probably could in the summer.
Like there's no rules saying you can't wear Crocs.
No. I mean, it'd just be fucking annoying answering questions, you know, like, ooh, Crocs, like
kids would love it. No, aren't they all wearing Crocs?
No.
What grade are you teaching?
Third grade.
I just want to hear you say it.
Every time I say it, I say it differently, and I still don't say it right.
Did you try really hard just then?
Yeah, I really, third.
I like the third.
Third grade. I actually tried. So about a week ago, I was outside with my kids, and I jogged like a 50-meter length. And like jogged back, and I was looking down at my feet, and my wife's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I know a guy that ran like 5K in these, and I'm just wondering, is it like punishment or is it like, are they normal? But they felt like kind of fine, but I'd worry I'd like go over my ankle or I'd do something, break
I'm
a patella.
I'm not recommending it. I don't want anybody to go out and start doing this, but for me, it works. And actually, I feel like I'm not a foot doctor, but I feel like my feet feel, maybe it's just like the, I don't know. My feet feel good and strong.
It's the Braille underneath your feet.
It must be the Braille.
How many kids? Two. Fuck's sake. We have a third coming in a couple of weeks.
Nice. Hell yeah.
Is that why you asked that question? So I'd say 30.
No.
It's
just icing on the cake.
Yeah, we have... I started doing press conferences, just for anybody that's in the chat and wants to go and watch something. I started doing press conferences with the different coaches. So I had Perrin was on because Max chickened out. So he put Perrin, he kind of like pushed Perrin. He's like, here, do this.
That's great.
She was great, yeah. So initially it was going to be like Yami from the training plan, John from the program, Max or Perrin. From Think Tank, and then Steve Fawcett from HWPO. And then I started feeling guilty about, maybe I should ask someone from Invictus, and I should probably ask Proven if I'm asking the others as well. And then I was like, I probably should ask this person. So I haven't actually counted. I think I've done 25. And it's kind of gotten to a point where it's like, this is wildly unsustainable because they only take like 5 minutes conversations, like recordings with different coaches.
Gotcha.
So it's going to be one like 20-minute video, and now it's going to be like 6 20-minute videos. But I think I don't know. It'll get easier as the season goes on. But I'd really love if people went and watched them and commented on them to help the algorithm, because I know it's pissing my wife off that every 20 minutes I'm like, I gotta go for 10 minutes and talk to this person, and then I come back and I'm like, I gotta go and talk to this person. You guys are on a shit time zone. Well, I'm on the shit time zone. And this is one of the periods where it becomes irksome when everything needs to be done at nighttime. When you joined Think Tank first, was there much of a system in place for, like you said, you went to do that, to record that camp or whatever, or, you know, video that camp, and then just kind of stayed there. Was there a system in place? Like, was that the inception of the media side of Think Tank, that you going to do that?
I would say media proper. Yeah, it's like up until then they had some courses, if you want to lump that into media, some training courses, and then they had obviously they were posting stuff on Instagram, but it was not, I mean, it was fine or whatever, but it wasn't what we're doing now, I guess.
And were you given like, was it just like, here, what would you do if you were doing this, will you do it? Or was it organic? Did it just kind of snowball into what it is now, say?
Very organic. It was like I showed up and it was just like, hey, we trust you to do what you want to do, and The first thing I made was a 2017 CrossFit Road to the Games type documentary series. I think it's, I mean, it's on our YouTube somewhere buried, but it's like 5-part series. And basically it's the story of the games or whatever, but really it's the story of TTT. I need to go back and watch those at some point, but that's pretty much the first thing I worked on.
Can you see the live chat?
I'm full screen, so I don't see anything. Let me see. Comments. Oh, there it is.
I think Rambler really likes Training Think Tank.
Thank you.
Max, love Max. I think that's supposed to be Max, comma, I love Max. Nice work, more content. 10-minute TTT. Don't know. TTT. Mia G, coach of TTT.
Dang, they're popping off. Send this man a free shirt.
Hey, Chris. How are you? I was actually for a long time convinced Rambler wasn't a real person. That it was a, I am a member of Think Tank. I used to think that Rambler was like AI, that it was like a program that someone was using to comment on YouTube videos. Cause the rate of comments is incredible. Like, it's incredible. Okay. So you, we're kind of given, I guess, like a free roll to do like whatever and kind of, you know, do you feel pressure with that though? Like more pressure when it's you're the one coming up with the ideas and starting the ideas and delivering the ideas at the end then coming up with another idea. Cause like you're, you know, you don't strike me as a man that likes compliments very much, but your hit rate is very high on, high quality output and entertaining content. Like when Max is on, I was talking to him about that Rook. It was like, what was it? The Rook, the Rogue qualifiers or
on the Rock Road Racing video. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that was incredible. And I feel like
a lot of that was just to make I had like a wild hair up my ass. I was like, I want to make a video and you'll have to tell me if it worked, but I want to make a video where from the moment it starts, you don't want to stop it.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I just wanted to just hold attention.
I think, yeah, attention is cool, but I think what was interesting about it for me is I couldn't give a fuck about Rook running and I couldn't give a fuck about cars. And it's same. This is actually quite serendipitous because I was literally just about to bring up Hiller. So before Hiller's video about Haley Adams, no disrespect to anyone, I didn't give a shit about Haley Adams. I met Josh and Haley and I enjoyed their company, like, you know, but I didn't have a deep level of care. I did care about Hiller. I like Hiller. I cared about him. But by the end of that Haley Adams video, I felt I had a deep connection with Haley and Josh and a deeper connection with Hiller. And I deeply cared about the four. Hiller technically wasn't a subject in it, but I deeply cared about those four people.
But he is, though. No. He for sure is.
Yeah. I think he is when you know him. I think he is. But I think if you're not listening to, like, you know what to listen out for when you follow Hiller and you watch his videos and stuff, you're laughing at the things he's saying or whatever. Whereas, yeah, like, someone else watching that will probably only see Haley and Josh. You know what I mean?
But yeah, they might not know it's him, but it was an integral part. I don't know. That's what.
I don't mean it in a disrespectful way to him. I just mean he was more peripheral than the three of those. Right, I guess is my point. And your video made me care about Rook running and the people that were doing it, and it made me care about driving cars fast and the people that were doing it and the general experience of it. And it made me care about, like, there was a bit of drama with, you know, Travis coming back in and doing the qualifiers and whatever. Like, you know, it was, I think that, yeah, you want to keep people's attention. I know that that's what, like, you know, Hiller cares about as well. And it's obviously what good YouTubers care about. And I don't really care about it. So it probably tips my hand slightly on my own abilities. But I think the connection thing is major. And you, like, the fact that that video that I was like, oh, I'm going to go on Google, like, who that driver was, and you know, that kind of stuff that, like, otherwise wouldn't have I could never I've heard of it. I've heard of the sport, but I just couldn't right. give a fuck. But it gave me that Drive to Survive level of like, oh, I'm kind of interested in this now. I wouldn't mind like going to that when I'm in America or whatever. But then when you do something like that, and obviously that, I'm assuming that's similar to Hiller's Haley video, you had to sell your soul a bit making that. Like, it's time consuming and effort consuming.
You hit the nail on the head. Like, when I get done, like, I'd say there's the 2017 documentary series I told you about a second ago.
Yeah.
We did probably one of my, I don't want to say favorite videos, but one of my videos that fits this mold is we did a 2018 or 19 Dubai documentary that, and then this video, and then there's a, when Sarah Sigmund's daughter was with us, I did a, her first day of training or something like that. Not a day in the life, but like a whatever. But those kind of videos, those projects, by the time I'm done with them, I'm like, it's like I did an all out sprint, dead on the floor. Like, I need days to recover. They just suck my soul out.
Yeah. What's the creative process like after that? Because are you like, are you fired up being like, all right, that was really good. I need to do more of that. I need to find another thing to do. Or are you like disillusioned and like beating the shit out of yourself being like, oh, I can't do that again. I can't think of another idea or whatever.
I think it's at the point now where I just wait for it to come. Cause I know that to some degree you have to force the issue. You know, you can't just be saying, nah, nah, nah. Like, you know, sometimes you got to shit or get off the pot. Whatever that's supposed to be. But at some other level, there's just like, man, you got to wait for when the moment's right. And when it is, you'll know. So as long as you're not being lazy, which, you know, only you can answer that question. There is an element of like, for me anyway, for me to ramp up to get to that kind of video or the ones I was just talking about, it's like, you got to have the time for it. So we do a lot of, that's the other thing is like, I do a lot of other stuff besides just those videos. And so we're keeping up with other stuff. So it's like finding the time. And like, for instance, the team quarterfinals just happened. I have these ideas all the time. And I'm sitting on stacks of ideas that I could do at any moment. And it's just like, dude, do you have it in you to gear up and do that right now at the expense of every other thing that you could also be doing and picking your spots? And yeah, I guess that's that.
What's your main focus when you have an idea? Is it because it's something that you haven't seen before? Is it because that it shows a side of someone that you think you haven't seen before? Is it because you think it'll like maintain attention? Like, what is it that you're looking for?
I think it comes in waves. I feel like I'm the ask anybody at the gym, I'm like a, whether I want to be or not, I'm the prototypical like hipster dude who just whatever you say, I'm going to go the other direction. You recommend me a song, I'm not going to listen to it. It's like I got to find it on my own. And so in the same way with these videos, like, I think the biggest thing is I don't want to do something that other people are doing. And it's, so it's like, if right now in the zeitgeist, it's this, then I'm not, because I'm trying to be Mr. Cool Guy. It's just like, this is who I am. I just, for better or worse, I'm just going to try to do something different. Not to say that I don't also crank out shit that's all the same. That's not what I mean. But, for those kinds of projects, it's usually fueled by a wanting to do something different that I care about that'll keep me interested. If I'm not interested, I'm going to just not do it.
Yeah. I think that's the trick, is to really give a shit about it yourself. Because like, once you come up with an idea, you know, this is going to take a while, and this is going to, like, you're going to need to want to open your laptop or whatever. You're going to need to want.
It also needs to be a challenge. Like, I love when it feels like I'm working on something that's like, it's kicking my ass. And yeah. I have to like, maybe this sounds, I don't know how it sounds to anybody else, but it could sound dramatic. But like for instance, that video you're talking about, I would show up every day and just get my ass kicked and like sit there and like, you sit there and you watch one little chunk. I don't know how many times, too many times, to the point where your brain's about to explode. And then you just keep doing that every day. Like that video took probably longer than it should have. And then, you know, it only gets 20K views and you're singing its praises and people seem to like it. And I don't judge my stuff on the view count. But if you were to be like a business minded person, then you would be like, huh, that was probably a dud.
Yeah.
For all the work that you put into it. Let me say that better. At the expense of everything else I could have been doing. Now, maybe I thought it was totally worth it. Like, and hopefully the people who watched it loved it.
But yeah. No, I empathize with that. I think as well, like, because I've done that where on a much smaller scale, like, you know, I'm not concerning myself with 20,000. But there has been videos, like I've made videos where I'm like, I'll put it out. And I've remembered on occasions turning to Orla, like turning to my wife and being like, man, that might be the best video I've made. Like, I'm really fucking proud of that. And then like a couple of days later, she'd be like, how's the video doing? And I'll check. And I'm like, oh, fuck. It's just like, right, that just didn't like catch the wave at all. It just, you just kind of fell off the board.
And but if you were cool, proud of it, that means you did something impressive to you, and that's going to just carry over into the next thing.
It's the same with like fake news, or the same with any kind of idea I do or any kind of thing. And I'm not like hyping myself up as a like fucking amazing idea guy or whatever, but any idea I do, I only do it if I'm like, oh, that's funny. Like, that's an end. That, like, I'm laughing. Like, when I'm writing out the fucking script or whatever for fake news, I'm laughing to myself. And like, when I'm recording it, I'm laughing more than I'm not laughing when I'm recording it. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck if nobody likes this. That's funny. And well, like, I think
the magic is that you could have, okay, you got to have ideas, right? But there's a million people out there who are idea guys. But I would say you're a perfect example of like, okay, you're about to have three kids, you got the full-time job, you're in a different time zone that makes everything a pain in the butt for you to do, yet you're out here ideating it and like putting it out there, just getting through it. I mean, Hiller's the perfect case too. You go back and watch those old videos and they were so-so, and it's just like, man, you know, whatever you feel about the guy, like, you cannot crap on that hustle. I mean, that's the most insane arc I've ever seen of all time. Just come in and like change the face of the CrossFit landscape.
Yeah.
All because you just decided to work your balls off. Like, if you got a problem with it, you could go do that. You're just not going to.
But even like when you, he put up a video, was it last week? And there was a flashback of him talking about it, like putting a dog on a diet. And it was like, comparatively, it was so bad compared to the video that it was in. Like, the old clip that he played within the new video was so shit compared to the new video. It was amazing just seeing the progress that he's made in whatever, 12, 18 months, the change in style, the level of confidence, I'm guessing testosterone increase had probably something to do with like some of it, but like his delivery, his passion, his editing skills, the effort that he put into it, the color, the camera quality, the mic quality, like everything was just through the fucking roof. Like, yeah, it's insane how good
he is. I kind of missed the old, I don't know how long, maybe 2 years ago now. Yeah, you know, now it's the Shia LaBeouf. But there was one that cracked me up for forever where it was like, I think it was just text with music in the background and be like, subscribe, thanks for watching, dudes. Or it was just so got me every time.
But he, he has some clips like, I don't know if this will annoy him, but I don't really care for the, Galaxy Quest, was it? Oh, shit. Can you hear me now? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Galaxy Quest, is that what you're talking about?
Is that what I'm talking about?
Yeah, with the text on the screen. No?
Maybe that's what it was. It was just something where there was like lots of text and there was like, subscribe, dudes, thanks for watching
this. Hitter makes a serious amount of references that I don't understand. Like, he'll say things in a text. Happened last week, he said something in a text and I replied and I was like, I don't get it. And he said it again, and then I literally typed back, okay, I'm nodding, pretending that I'm getting it, but I still don't get it, but okay.
It's just, I don't want to put him and Mike McGoldrick in a room and just them two podcasts about movies, because I get the sense, because Mike's that same guy who just knows every movie thing on the planet. And he'll say it to you, to me, and he'll be like, blah, blah, blah. And then every day, I'd say two times a day, I just have to feel bad for not understanding what he's talking about. I don't know.
Yeah. Even though the way Hiller's brain works, like, he operates on a different plane than I do. So he'll start talking about something and I will not be caught up at all on what he's talking about. And then about an hour later, I'll see it. He'll put up a reel or a story or something. I'll be like, oh, that's what he meant like 2 days ago when he was telling me that thing. And now I don't know what he's talking about. But yeah, some of the clips, like I'd be disappointed now if I watched a video of his and it didn't have The Rock in it. But like, I could take or leave that clip. Like, is that what you think?
In the early days, I sent him a message saying, well, really, I was just talking shit because I'm a WWE fan. I don't know if he is actually or not. I guess if he's still in the chat, he could say, but I sent him a clip being like, oh, you could use a better, it doesn't matter clip from The Rock than that, because as a wrestling fan, that's not his best one. And then there was an episode or two where he used some of the ones I sent him, and then he went back, and that was the best thing he's ever done, because it doesn't matter that he actually chooses to use is the best one for the situation. So the other ones may have been better in the context of wrestling and the character of The Rock, but that one hands down works the best for, especially when it cuts to Rusev. I think it's Rusev, and he's, you know, the guy he's talking to, who it doesn't matter.
His use of the AI Jade Coons, never.
That guy talked on a podcast the other day, and I was like,
I was disappointed. I was like, what?
You know, if he wanted to get the biggest pop in the world, all he would have had to do, like, and everybody instantly love him, if he was just like, oh, well.
Yeah, oh my God.
Just hit it for us one time, dude. We would all love you instantly, and then anything he said, we'd just be okay with.
That was on Kettlebells and Cocktails. He started talking. He said something, and I was like, oh, that's, I don't know why I expected him to sound the same. But then he redeemed himself when he AI'd himself by saying like 24.1 and 24.2. And I remember at the time thinking, I'm going to send that to Hiller. And I was like, he's definitely going to see this himself. I'll just let him enjoy it when he sees it. Like, I want him to have a natural reaction to it. But yeah, no, he's that oh well clip is, like, I read it. When I read it in a text, I read it in the oh well voice. Yeah. It's just absolutely perfect. And it's the type of clip as well that you can never overuse. Like there was a video with Alexis the other day, and I think he used it every time she swore to cut out the swears. But it's even that context, it's funny. And it was used like 10 times.
Those two is great. Like, these people are gonna go on to be YouTube proper celebs if they keep at it.
Yeah, it's actually kind of annoying how good Alexis was on that video, where it's kind of like, cool, okay, she just sat down in front of a mic and was perfect, like, great, like, just effortlessly perfect. What type of, is it a specific time that you leave between stuff then, or is it like a recovery? Are you like, all right, I've got it, or is it more so like, okay, it's the off season and I have time now, or it's like there's a dead period coming up to the open, I have time?
I don't know, right now I'm stressing out about what am I going to make for quarterfinals. You know, part of me, I look at the live stream with Colton, Dallin, and Taylor, and all them, and I'm like, that's genius. And I sympathize with the athletes, because a lot of the athletes are like, look, you know, me as the media, I'm like, let me just film everything and put it out. And then on their side, it's like, and if I was in their shoes, I might even be the same, where it's like, okay, if you film me and put it out right away, then there's going to be all the eyeballs and critique, which, you know, our people are thick-skinned, they could deal with it. But then there's the, at worst case scenario, something gets put out and it gets docked because it was put out, but not everybody else is putting their stuff out. You got to play that game, I guess, a little bit. And so, yeah, it's like when I look at that, I'm like, man, I wish we could just do that. That'd be sick.
Yeah.
So right now, I guess to answer your question, I'm stressing about what to make. So that's my process. My process is stress out about what to make, end up making nothing, and then continue. But I think what I want to make right now is I'm going to document quarters, probably go to the semis and stuff. And I think maybe I finally might want to take a stab at like doing a proper season reflection in post. Tell the story in post. Which sucks because you don't get to cash in on the timeliness of putting stuff out. But I also, the main thing I hate about as this has gone on, I'm not into being a camera guy. Dude, when I watch videos and I see camera people in videos doing their camera guy thing, and I'm one of them, so I'm not throwing shade. It's just like it just grosses me out seeing camera people. And so knowing that I am one of those people, I just feel icky. And then I start feeling icky, especially when I'm in athlete spaces, and like not so much at the gym, But, you know, when we go to semifinals and stuff like that, like, and this isn't a knock on people who do it, because I like watching that stuff. It's fine. But I feel icky just being all like, blah, blah. So I think I've come to terms with the fact that I'm going to end up being like, get the B-roll guy, B-roll, you know what that is, and then document and do stuff later. Because I'm not a fan of being in people's faces necessarily, because it's too easy for me to just wind up being a character and like trying to make everything funny and trying to pull stuff out of them just for the sake of a video.
Why do you not like seeing like media people? What do you think?
It's a self-hatred thing that I'm projecting onto this whole job, but I don't know. It just grosses me out, dude. Like, not really. Not gross is the wrong word. I'm being.
Do you think your job is important?
Sure.
Yeah, because it like some people, I get pissed off looking at some people, I feel icky looking at some people, but the people that I
don't mean the actual person. I just mean whoever's holding the camera. Like, you ever be watching the video and you see the camera guy back there, trying to get the shot? I'm just like, oh god.
Yeah, it's about demeanor, I think.
Because it's me. It's not about the person. It's like I know that that's also me, and like the fact that someone else could be in a room while I'm hovering, getting something. Oh, I don't know. This is turning into a therapy session.
my main thing is when I see. Because I'm not in any way trained at doing any of this. So my main thing is, like, I could be recording someone. I was going to lift up my camera there, but sure, I'm using it. I could be recording someone. Like, so here's my camera, and I'll be talking to you, and then I sort of forget that I'm holding a camera. So, like, the camera starts, like, pointing up this way or, like, down at the ground or something. I was over in Norway. Kristen Holte, half the conversation, her forehead stops. Like, it's like up to here, and I'm like, oh fuck, so I'm gonna write, I need B-roll or something to go over that, because that looks fucking stupid. But then Will told me once, he was like, no, I really love seeing that, because it means that the person holding the camera is totally zoned in on what the person is saying and has forgotten, like, they're in the moment instead of,
as
like,
as long as you own it, right? As long as you own it, and you have to be good, and the video has to be good. So, you know, if it was like you being all nervous about it or whatever, and then also the actual video sucked, then yeah, now we're going to nitpick your forehead thing. But if you're bringing the goods, then lean into it. It doesn't matter. You'll get better too.
I'm a very slow starter. Like, anytime I go anywhere, I'm very slow to, you know, make my approach. like if I was in Georgia now, if I went to Think Tank tomorrow, I'd probably just like hang around the periphery for like an hour. Like 45 minutes an hour, just kind of like wandering around, not actually getting involved.
You said something on the Max interview I listened to, which made me laugh, which was, you said when you met me at the games, you were intimidated.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I
feel like I'm the least intimidating dude on the planet. Which
I think the two of us are actually quite alike, where. Oh, are you going to take this as an insult?
Was I being a dick? No,
I think a lot of it is projection.
That's my nightmare.
Fuck. No, but I think like we didn't know each other at all at the games. And like, I think we spoke to each other for like 2 minutes or whatever towards the end, like on one of the days or something. But like,
I thought it was the beginning when you were with Sam, right? Sam Stewart?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, anyway, right.
Well, yeah, I got somewhere I'm going with this, but go ahead and finish that.
Well, I know that I know that everybody thinks, everybody who hasn't had the privilege of talking to me, thinks that I'm like an ignorant, grumpy fuck, just because that's my like resting face is just like, I don't want to be here. Like, but that's just my face. I can't, really help it. It's just the way it sits. But like, I remember when I first met like my wife, she thought like, god, he fucking hates everything, but it was like, I'm just taking it all in, man. I'm just like chilling, and you know, and then I'll like make a joke or something. And I think you're not dissimilar from that, where you're not like me, you're not the type of person to walk up to someone and be like, hi, I'm Chris, and like start shaking someone's hand. So then if someone doesn't do that to you, like if someone comes over and talks to me, I'll talk to them, but I'm not going to go out of my way to go over and talk to someone unless I know it's going to be awkward. Unless it's someone that I've argued with online or something, then I will go over and say hello because I want to see the just the psychological intrigue of like, how are they going to react when they see me in person? But if it's somebody that I kind of sort of semi know and I see them at a thing, I'm not going to go over and be like, hey, how are you? Because it's just right. it's not my thing. So then I think my perspective of it is we both didn't do that. Like we both didn't go over and say hi. Like I didn't go over and introduce myself, and you didn't go over and introduce yourself. So then we didn't
already met though. See, that's where I'm confused, because from my perspective, here was my version of the week, and I hadn't thought about this since you said it on the thing. But we met with you and Sam, and I was like, okay, we met that dude. And then I felt like the rest of the weekend, I was like, man, that dude's like avoiding I see him going up and talking to everybody else, but I'm just
Where do we meet with Sam? At the check-in desk.
At the bottom of the steps to the media room.
And so I do remember that.
The wrong way or something. And then so when I heard the interview and you were intimidated, I was like, isn't that that to me was the interesting part, is that, you know, people can make the, you know, I was thinking one way and then you were thinking another way. We both had no clue.
Yeah, and I've definitely caused myself relationships with that. I don't mean like romantic relationships, but I mean relationships of like potential friendships where being like, oh, that guy probably thinks I'm a dick, I'm not going to talk to him. It's like the person is like, that guy is a dick because he won't talk to me. Yeah, I actually agree with this. With your hoodie and your bookshelf of books, you look like a rich exec that's going to test your morning.
No, I'm not a morning routine guy, no.
Have you seen Mark Wahlberg's videos?
No.
Oh, man. He gets up at like 4 a.m. and trains. You need to look him up. He trains and like he...
You're talking about Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah, like Mark. Okay, like Marky Mark. He gets up at 4 a.m. and he trains. And he wears like gloves. No matter what he's doing. He put up a video the other day of doing... No, that's actually the only thing that would be more ridiculous. They look like gardening gloves. They're like black, like almost like American football, you know, like quarterback gloves or whatever.
Glove?
Yeah, if it fits. Also, the plot twist on that, I don't think cancer did it. But he was doing leg day in his downstairs gym. And it was like leg curls, leg extensions, leg press, squats. Literally, his hands were not involved in anything. And he was wearing the gloves the entire time. But he gets up at like 4 a.m. A guy comes over to his house, like his friend comes over to his house. Honestly, looks like the guy's fucking hiding from him when he opens the door. That the dude's like, shit, like he caught me. He brings him downstairs, trains with him. And he's like, just fucking ultra intense. And then he's like... Then he's really intense about praying. Like he started this app or something. Fuck, what's it called? Like worship or something like that. But he started this app, but it's like a praying app. And it's like, he's really intense about like talking about it in the same, like, didn't he invest in F45 or something a while back? And he was like visiting all these F45 gyms. Yeah. I remember visiting all these F45 gyms and being like, let's go. And like going into the gyms and like, you know, like,
what are they like? I've never been in one.
I don't know. From memory, I think the videos actually stop when he gets to the door. So I don't know if he ever actually walked in. I was like, cut. I'll send you one of his videos later. The dude is fucking nuts. Like he's,
I don't think I'll like it.
But it's the gloves. Every time it pops up on my Explorer, you know, like on my suggestions. Halo app, that's what it's called. Halo app. It's his praying something, I don't know. But he, it's the fucking gloves, man. It pops up in my Explorer. And I'm like, every time it pops up, I'm like, I wonder what he's training. And I wonder if he's wearing the gloves. And it's like, he'd be like, we're going for a 5-mile jog. Gloves. It's like we're going doing like lunges, bodyweight lunges for an hour.
Got a sponsorship or something.
But there's no discernible logo on them or anything. I'm pretty sure he has his own clothing brand with like a fitness
clothing. You know brand. What I was wanting to bring back? I don't know if you, when did you start CrossFit?
Like 15, 16.
We were watching UFC the other night and it was getting us all nostalgic because I feel like back in 09 when I started, it was like they were tied together. Like you would train all week and then at the end of the month, the pay-per-view came out and the whole gym would go watch UFC, at least in my spot. And so that got us talking and I was like, you know what I want to start doing? I want to bring back board shorts, proper board shorts with skins. You remember skins? Like the real tight, I guess they're just spandex tights, but there was a brand called Skins, and then put on some Innovates or the Vibram Five Fingers.
Dude, and the socks that
go up, you could probably knock off 2 minutes on any workout.
The socks that go up to the top of your calf as well.
Yeah, well, you don't need those if you got the skins. You're covered.
No, you put them over the skins.
Put them over the skins. Oh, I missed that.
No exposed skin. I remember one of my first pair of shorts that I bought where I was like, oh, I really like CrossFit. I need to show people I like CrossFit. I bought like a pair of Reebok shorts that were absolutely fucking terrible, but they were like, they had, it was like crisscross, like, you know, the drawstring.
It was like
crisscross and then you tighten it and they were impossible to tighten. Like no matter what you did, they just,
weren't they already pre-tightened? No.
Yeah, but not to like my standards, but like if you pulled the drawstring and then tied a loop, inevitably you'd be butt cracking within, you know, two minutes inside the workout. Ask CTP what the craziest thing he's seen Mike Bledsoe do.
Craziest. The first thing that popped into my head wasn't really crazy. I just remember one time we were on a road trip and he was in the back of the car and it was at night. We were either talking about some, I don't remember how this goes anymore, but I just hear from the back, stars is crazy. Yes, Mike, they are. Stars are crazy.
Good input. Yeah, we'll add into your trend a cut off NASCAR shirt on top. Add that into your outfit.
I got a couple of those.
Why? Yeah, the t-shirt you're wearing, Melvin's, is that a band or do you know what that means, Melvin?
No, I don't know what it means, but I know the band, the Melvin's. Tell me what it means and disappoint me. Oh, funny story. Before you tell me that one, do you know the band Tool?
Yes.
So when I was a teenager, I was really big into all these new metal and metal bands, and I was a little goth type kid. Not like to the extreme, but like a little metalhead. And I had
small bit of makeup.
Yeah, no makeup, never any makeup. I had braided hair at one point, like the guys in Korn. But because I had like long hair, I basically looked like Kid Rock. I was like a fat Kid Rock, butt cut, or like Ozzy with the butt cut, long hair, a couple double chins. But where was I going with that? Help me out. What was I about to say? Oh, Tool shirt. So I had the Tool shirt, and dude, I played music. I wasn't like a manly man dude, right? So I don't know. Well, I say that and you're still going to laugh that I didn't know this. But there was like a tool on the shirt, like a proper like wrench, whatever. I still don't know this shit. But there was like a wrench or something. And basically, I didn't know that there wasn't actually a wrench that had it basically looked like a penis. Like two balls and then comes down here and is like the wrench part with two of the...
Oh, hang on. Hang on. I think I have it.
You got it?
I'm pretty sure I do.
Come on. Sorry, I'm about to get this. If it looks like a penis, you found it.
Is that it?
That's the one. So I had that, and I'm wearing it to school, and I'm just thinking, like, the band's called Tool, so they got a tool on the back. And then one of my teachers was like, bro, you can't just wear a wiener to school. Oh, I wish I still had that. Dang, slaps. Look at that. Woo. Come on.
Yeah, you're like, it's for tightened in two balls simultaneously. What's the problem?
And I remember him like explaining to me that's not how it works. And I was like, oh.
Oh, that's
surely so you funny. Could use that for something, right?
Yeah, like a really specific bridge. Someone said the name of the shorts. I wonder, is this these Reebok CrossFit Epic Base shorts. Yeah, I think that is them. I don't see the ones I... Oh, they're the ones I had. Hang on. These were fucking... Jesus, even just seeing them now, I'm getting angry at how shit they were. Look at that.
Maybe the red and black. No, oh, okay.
Like, the top isn't even fucking touching.
You know the OG shorts that are like my go-to, like when I think classic CrossFit? There was like a one of the games, maybe after 12 or 11. No, it was probably after 12 or 13. Oakley started working with Rich. And I think Oakley made some shorts for Rich that were, come on.
Oh, look, gloves. I should bring up Mark Wahlberg Instagram, see if I can show you his gloves. So you think this is the year that you do a 2024 review?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's, you know, if I can get up, if I can gain up the courage to do it. What am I missing?
Just like, in the chat? It's fucking gloves. Like, why is he wearing the gloves? Oh. Look at them.
There were some people in the early days of CrossFit who would wear gloves too all the time.
Okay, like he's benching, like fine. But
those
are whatever.
Like, those look like a golf glove almost. Like,
yeah.
This one's about to do a Michael Jackson concert.
Where's maybe is this the video? No. 4 a.m. Look, 4 a.m. This is look at it. Like, okay, he's holding cables, but like apart from that, not a lot of hand stuff going on here. And he's like, still got the gloves on.
Yo, forget all this noise. Have you seen the 1998 King of the Ring Hell in a Cell match between Mankind and The Undertaker?
No.
Ah, oh, bro, you got to pop that up. Well, watch it on your own time. That'll be a...
It feels like a bit... Yeah, batting gloves. They're like batting gloves. That's what I'm thinking of. Spin, just running his start over. No, sorry. So you're going to do a review hopefully this year. Another thing I thought would be cool, I don't want to give you ideas or like, you know, pretend that I have better ideas than you have.
I told you, as soon as you give me the idea, I'm not doing it.
Okay, do you know what would be a terrible idea?
There you go.
What wouldn't work? It require a lot of guesswork. Like you could do it and then be wrong and then have wasted your time. But if you could get Travis Mayer's last season from start to finish.
Bro, So there, like I said, there's videos in my head. I already know how that video goes. Like
Does he die at the end?
I have to sound whatever, but like I'll just walk around and like when I'm like walking my dog, I'm creating these little videos in my head. I've known how they go for forever. Like I have this Noah video that's built out in my head that will never see the light of day. That's a freaking banger.
Does that ever hold you back when you like, so when you have an idea and you think of what it's going to be like and then you start doing it and then if it's not panning out, like if the story, if like reality isn't panning out the way that you want it to?
That's a good question. So that's another thing I bump up against is I don't like staging stuff, and that's a me thing. Like I don't mind if other people do, but I really don't like when some of our athletes will always be like, hey, I got the sponsor wants me to do XYZ. And maybe I've done it two or three times back in the day, but like, I just feel, and I want to help these people. So I'm not trying to be a dick, but I just feel so gross being like, I'm not comfortable like being like, yeah, hold this protein bag. And so if we have to stage anything, I'm not for it. I'm not saying I've never done it, but if I did do it, I was sweating bullets and hating myself the whole time. So to that point, it's like a lot of the stuff that I like to get, you either get it or you don't. And if you don't get it, you got to do something else. So yeah, that is an element to it. It's like, if you missed it, you missed it.
Because it's an interesting, like one of my friends, Mikey Aldridge, does a lot of stuff for Emma McQuaid and he does a lot of stuff for musicians and like bands and stuff. But he does more kind of reels and he does a lot of photography, but he does reels and stuff as well. Like, you know, kind of hype reels or, you know, that kind of stuff. He does some stuff with Sam actually as well. He did that, you know, that thing Sam did when he was in London with Puma and then like a red bus appeared and then it turned into something else. Like, that's Mikey's style, is like, it's kind of weird, but good. But I remember talking to him once and he said that he only records like what he wants, and it fucking blew my mind. As in, he has a picture in his head of what the reel is going to look like, and he can hear the music that he's going to use for it, and then he'll go and like record a 1.5 second clip of someone doing something in it. Like, he'll move in a certain way, and then he's like, that's pretty much perfect, just need to color grade that. And I'm like, how the fuck can you picture, like, whereas I'm the opposite, I record everything. And then I like gradually discard things when I'm doing it. I'm like, oh, I don't need that anymore.
He knows what he wants.
Are you his way or closer to my way, where you like, can you picture the end product? Obviously you don't want to stage things and you don't want to like change the narrative. Hybrid,
though. I can picture all that stuff. But the thing is I don't want to go out there and, like, for instance, if I have this picture in my head, our gym's pretty tight. We got a lot of space or smaller space in certain areas. And, you know, let's say I've been picturing the shot, or what, normally I kind of stopped doing that, but back when I would, you know, you go in there and you have this shot idea, and then, well, now Alexis and three other people are also there, so you can't back up to where you want to go. And so I've just learned to just capture what I can and get what I can. But it is fun to that guy's thing when you do know exactly what you want and you can get it. Like, let's say, I knew Travis was going to have the gym all to himself, and I knew we had places to work, and I would never, like I said a minute ago, I don't want to go stage him doing stuff. I don't want to be like, go, okay, stand here. Like, that's just not my cup of tea, but I would know what I want and just try to hit it. Like, I like it to be like the natural, like, I like him to just be doing the actual reps he's doing. I don't want to be like, hey, go do this for me. I'm not saying sometimes you just have to do that, but I don't like doing that.
Yeah, go and do two toes to bar, and then sit down and take a drink. Yeah,
it's a necessary evil sometimes. But
all right, I'm going to finish up. I really enjoy your company. You're a good guy. Your content and stuff that you put out for Think Tank is remarkable as well, or Think Tub. Sorry, the variation and the. I guess you've great people to work with. Like, they're great characters, as in, like,
oh, for sure,
they have great personalities. Like the athletes and the, like, Ashley is brilliant, Travis is brilliant, Max is brilliant, Alexis, like, they're all so good and so like giving and so easy. They make it easy, I guess. But nonetheless, the quality of content that you put out is remarkable. It's like really, really good, really high quality content. The risk of making you uncomfortable, I find you to be an inspiration to me and what I'm doing. That's cool to see somebody else doing stuff and be like, oh, it's actually possible to do stupid shit to entertain myself and someone else might find it entertaining, or to do serious shit in the middle of something stupid, or stupid shit in the middle of something entertaining or serious. So thanks for everything you do. Thanks for coming on and bearing with me and talking about yourself and being uncomfortable.
Yeah, sorry I didn't deliver as much as we hoped, but...
No, you delivered more than I think you did. No, I think you said more than you thought you did. When this stream ends, I managed to get it set up that when this stream ends, you'll automatically be redirected to Jason CF Media, who's talking to Andrew Hiller.
You said that at the beginning. You should go watch that, because that is, I mean, you have Jason CF Media, who is such an interesting character to me. Yeah. And you have Hiller, and seeing those two conversate. Oh, you couldn't ask for anything better. Two totally different people.
Jason CF Media is a professional, like literally professional. It's his job. He's a professional fence sitter. And then Hiller is like kicking down, as in he doesn't really have, he doesn't share his opinion on anything. Yeah, yeah. Not an actual job.
Do you agree with me in our show that he seems like he's like a secret hitman though? Like he has an alternate life where he's like a dangerous dude and you don't want to fuck with him?
I'm willing to guess when I was talking about Mark Wahlberg's gloves that he was thinking, I've got four pairs of those. They're to hide fingerprints.
He's got some.
Okay, so go and watch that. It goes on in 40 minutes. Sorry, I thought it was now. I thought it was 9 o'clock. Oh, I don't know. Anyway, 4 p.m. Central. Okay, well, anyway, if you're watching this delayed, you'll be redirected to that. And even if you're not, it'll come up as a screen. You can click it and wait for it to start and be one of the people that's waiting and having a conversation in the chat. Go and watch the press conferences, please, that I put up. There's three of them up there now. There'll be another three up tomorrow. Go and drink some Spade. I see Christian asking, go and drink some Spade. I haven't had any yet, but everybody that I've spoken to that has some has said it's really nice, that the cola one is really nice. I'm sure you've had some, Chris, have you?
Yeah, I love it.
Right, resounding endorsement there. Go and subscribe to Think Tank if you're not already, and follow CTP and tell him he's great. And thank you. Thanks for that.
Thanks for having me.
Much obliged.